It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Happy Tuesday to each and every one of you. Thank you for joining us. You each have a purpose. You have strive for excellence today and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. I so appreciate you joining us. And thank you to this great team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. Happy Tuesday to you, producer Steve.
Thank you, and back at you.
Okay. In studio with me is one of my great valued partners, and that is Chris Cantwell. He is with Transworld Business Advisors, and he is in the business of helping people buy and sell their dreams.
That's right, Kim. That's what we do every day.
Every day. So we'll be focusing on what you're seeing in that particular arena in the second segment, Chris. Third
Perfect.
And fourth segment, Lawrence Reed, who is the president emeritus with the Foundation for Economic Education, has written a book, Was Jesus a Socialist? Which I think that'll be very interesting. We've actually had him on before, mm-hmm. Chris, to talk about this, but we continue to see the socialist policies coming through, and the more I think Americans see of this, the less they like of it, Chris.
Well, I hope so. I think there's going to have to be some lessons learned before things get back to the freedom side versus the force side.
Yes, and we're as I say, the veil is off. We now see what is really occurring, and people have really awakened to, I think, the danger that we have out here, Chris, to our freedoms, to just this whole American way of life. And so it'll be a really very interesting conversation in segments 3 and 4.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and jump in here. I get to work with a lot of great people, and a couple of my other great sponsors is one of them is Hooters Restaurants, and they have 5 locations here in the metro area, and that is Lone Tree, Westminster, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. And they have all kinds of specials, whether or not it is lunch specials, happy hour specials, to-go specials. They actually have a party pack. Now that we're going to be getting into March Madness, if you're going to have friends over, that's a great thing. You can find all these on my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And just click on the sponsor tab and everything drops down and you can go to the Hooters icon there. And then Castlegate Knife and Tool. Knives have been around for, well, since almost the very beginning of humankind. I wasn't going to say anything about your age there, Steve.
So. I was thinking, I looked up in the glass and saying, about to say, watch yourself. I know where you're going.
And the right tool makes the job go really, really well. And Castlegate Knife and Tool is in the business of helping you find that very reliable tool in your tool chest. And they have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. And so whether or not you're a collector or a chef or a sportsman, Castlegate is the place for you. And that website is castlegate.com, castlegate.com. And be sure and check out my website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent podcast and our most recent op-eds. There's 2 really important recent pieces there. One is the podcast that I did with John Eastman, Trump's attorney, the CU visiting professor of conservative thought and policy, although CU has canceled him. He can't actually go on campus now, but they are fulfilling his contract. But anyway, check that out because it will really give you a good understanding of what has occurred, which is very interesting. Regarding the election, the Epic Times is reporting that the Supreme Court has refused to hear Trump's last remaining election challenge. They didn't say any reason why, but they just said that they were not going to hear that particular case. And I find it rather disappointing because it seems that we would really want to hear the potential cases on this. Both sides present their sides, and then we can determine from the evidence what has happened. But actually, the courts have not been friendly to trying to make that happen. And then again, this is from the Gateway Pundit, that the ballots in Arizona's Maricopa County have been found shredded and in a dumpster days before the Senate audit is to begin. Steve, what do you think about that?
This whole subject is just, it's mind-boggling. It's beyond comprehension, because I don't think anybody's really looking at it long-term. They're still, the election of 2020 is still fresh in their minds, and yes, I think there's no doubt that there was some strange things going on in many places around the country, but the left has done a good job of clamping down the lid and saying we are not going to go back and look, and you know why they've influenced the Supreme Court as they have. You know, because you never really get an explanation on why the Supreme Court does what it does.
Not unless you get the dissenting opinions by some of the justices, but there's no dissenting opinion that's going to be issued on this.
Good point. And no one's going to, in Arizona, is going to go back and say, okay, now who made this decision to shred these ballots?
Well, I sure hope, I hope somebody does. Well, I know that the Republican Party down in Arizona is actually no longer the party of McCain. That, in fact, that there are those that want to get to the bottom of what happened there. And, in fact, somebody should go to jail because somebody issued this order for these ballots to be shredded. And somebody should go to jail for that, Steve.
I'll make that our rallying cry. Somebody needs to go to jail, and we're still waiting. We've been waiting for 20 years, and nobody goes to jail.
Well, we can't give up, my friend. We cannot give
up. Harvey Weinstein goes to jail, and who's the other guy who mysteriously...
Epstein.
Epstein, yeah. Okay, somebody has gone to jail. They just don't live to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't that time, that's for sure. Let's continue on here. First of all, Chris Cantwell, since we're going to have Lawrence Reed on, I went to Thomas Sowell because economics and socialism, and you know he's such a great thinker, Thomas Sowell. This is from his Barbarians Inside the Gates and Other Controversial Essays. And Thomas Sowell was born in 1930. He is an American economist, social theorist, and senior fellow at Stanford's University's Hoover Institution. He was born in North Carolina. He grew up in Harlem, New York. He dropped out of high school. He served in the Marine Corps during the Korean War. And upon returning to the United States, he enrolled at Harvard University. He graduated magna cum laude in 1958. He received a master's degree from Columbia University in 1959 and earned his doctorate in economics from the University of Chicago in 1968. Pretty impressive, Chris.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Ready for this?
Super smart guy.
Super smart. He said this, "I have never understood why it is greed to want to keep the money I've earned, but not greed to want to take somebody else's money." And that seems to be what socialism is that it's greedy if you earn money and want to keep it. But, man, they're all about taking somebody else's money.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to take it than to have to earn it.
There's two ways to make money. You've hit it. You can either earn it or you can steal it.
Yes.
And what we see here is actually some of the policies I think are legalized stealing these days, Chris.
Oh, they absolutely are. I mean, and remember, the government has no accountability. So for every mistake they make, that's just wasted money. We'll take more from somebody else and try again.
Speaking of that, on my way in today, I saw a light rail train with three cars with one person on it. And then I saw the accordion buses go around the corner with one person on it. So we have five pieces of transportation there, and there were two people on it. And Chris, we just continue to double down.
Yep.
Spend money on this. And in private enterprise, that wouldn't work.
It would never happen. It's the same as the mail system versus UPS and FedEx and all the other ways that you can mail a letter, and they make money on it, where the U.S. Postal Service doesn't make any money. RTD doesn't make any money. Amtrak doesn't make any money. They just fail after fail after fail.
And
we just keep funding them.
Yes, because we have to ask, because why? Steve, you look like you want to say something.
Well, the Thomas Sowell quote, I think, gee, can we make just distribute that a couple hundred times and hand them out at the state capitol? It just boggles my mind. And especially with the bill of the day thing that you and Patty have been doing, how many of those, when you read through them, you see, well, and we'll create another commission, we'll create another committee to do X, Y, and Z. And it's like, at what cost?
At what cost? And they're not accountable to the voters either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's
control.
Control. It's control.
Let's talk about the bill of the day. It's HB 21-1074. And then Senate Bill 21-080. And the House bill is by Representative Mary Bradfield. And it says it establishes immunity from civil liability for entities for any act or omission that results in exposure, loss, damage, injury, or death arising out of COVID-19 if the entity attempts in good faith to comply with applicable public health guidelines. And the bill is repealed 2 years after the date the governor terminates the state of disaster emergency declared on March 11th, 2020. It's just about coming in on a year. And Jen Hewlin's going to have a one-year anniversary of the 2 weeks to flatten the curve. The other is, let's see here, it's... sponsors Rob Woodward, who we had on yesterday, and Representatives Byrd and Bradfield. So I think that Representative Byrd is a Democrat. Same kind of thing. It says an entity is not liable for any damages that result from exposure, loss, damage, injury, or death arising out of COVID unless a claimant proves by clear and convincing evidence that the exposure, loss, damage, injury, or death was caused by the entity's failure to comply with public health guidelines, or the exposure, loss, damage, injury, or death was caused by gross negligence or willful and wanton act or omission of the entity. And again, the bill is repealed 2 years after the date the governor terminates the state of emergency declared on March 11th, 2020. Isn't that weird? State of emergency for almost a year now, Steve.
Yeah.
Chris, I'm Steve. I'm looking. Yeah, I find that pretty amazing.
2 days from now.
2 days from now, an emergency for a whole year.
Yeah,
and the thing about it is it's only supposed to be for 30 days, isn't it? And so every month he has been extending that.
Yep.
So why this is important, my friends, is that businesses would choose to open up. If, in fact, somebody would, I mean, you can sue anybody for anything.
Yeah, even the language in this is going to be hard to, there's going to be lawsuits.
But at least what they're trying to do is to protect businesses.
They are,
and churches from if they open up.
Yeah.
And I hope that one of them passes. I agree with you. There's still language in there because people can still sue.
Mm-hmm.
But
they'll find a way.
But it is a step in the right direction.
Agreed.
And another step in the right direction here is that a couple of Douglas County commissioners are probably going to put forward a resolution this afternoon at their meeting at 1:30 to open Douglas County up. And so there are those, Free Dougco, Free Colorado, and Free America. They're going to have an event at noon. Unfortunately, I cannot make it, but they said there's going to be food trucks, music. It's going to be family friendly. I think the weather is supposed to be good. And it is at 103rd Street, Castle Rock, Colorado. The meeting will be in the commissioner's hearing room. But it says, join in celebrating the landmark decision to fully reopen Douglas County. And it is, and they're calling it Let's Live Again. What do you think about that, Producer Steve?
Well, I applaud it. I'm just thinking the fallout from what Texas and Mississippi have declared in the last 10 days or so, and so much pushback coming at them, but yet no regard for small business, business in general. And I see us spinning our wheels, still trying to get a grip on what the real truth is with all of this. And unfortunately, the naysayers, they just don't have, the information's just not on their side. And yet they'll jump up in a heartbeat and say, well, you're not following the science.
Well, and the science is somewhat all over the place.
that doesn't help.
That doesn't help at all.
I saw someone today just totally dismembering the CDC because of their, you know, whatever they say, wait 3 days or so and watch them change their mind.
And they'll change
their
mind.
So true.
Chris, this has really been about, we talk about it all the time, freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Ultimately, socialism comes down to force. It's not free stuff. Free stuff is the carrot.
Correct.
But socialism ultimately comes down to force. And so let's go to break. When we come back, let us know what is happening in the small to mid-sized business arena. This is the bread and butter of the American idea.
It is.
And it is what has been under assault with this whole COVID-19, Wuhan, China virus reaction disruption. And it has been a year now. It is time for us to open up. We'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you that are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air and searching for truth and clarity as we look at these issues as freedom versus force. Force versus freedom. In studio with me is my valued partner, Chris Cantwell, with Trans World Business Advisors. And we're going to be talking about small to mid-sized businesses. Before we get to that, though, the Denver Channel reported that there was a revolt up in CU. CU students blame frustration over COVID-19 restrictions for Saturday's riot. Apparently, a bunch of the kids got together and they were having a party. They're tired of being locked down.
Yeah.
And I guess it did get out of hand, though. I never advocate for destruction of property.
Of course.
And that did occur. But I tell you what, being a student right now in this lockdown thing, it's time. It's a year. So it'll be a year. Can you believe it?
And this goes back to our comments about freedom and force, right? The government is forcing all these restrictions on these people and people start to go nuts. I mean, force just doesn't work. And it never has since human beings have existed. So when we try to force people to behave certain ways, eventually they're going to get frustrated and something like this is going to happen.
And Chris, you mentioned during the break, is force never works. Socialism comes down to force. And they talk about free stuff, but ultimately, under capitalism, people work. Under socialism, people have to work. The incentives are different. And then under communism, people work as well. The difference is who gets to keep the fruits of the labor. And when you have capitalism and individuals get to keep most of the fruits of their labor, then you have a productive society.
But they're also free to choose what they want to do.
Exactly.
In socialism and in communism, you're going to be told what your job's going to be. And everyone's going to get the same wage, and that's how it's all going to be so peaceful.
And what happens is everybody becomes equal, but equal in their misery.
Correct. And poverty.
And poverty.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the American idea. We have seen such an assault over this last year on small to mid-sized businesses. I laud Douglas County for opening up. I have been advocating for opening up for a long time. In fact,
yep.
Last year, about this time when they were talking about locking down, I pleaded with elected representatives, said, do not do this. But we were in uncharted territory for sure.
Sure.
But I think that as we look back, we realize that locking down our economy for the first couple of weeks, I'm kind of like, I get it. Let's kind of get a feel for what is happening here.
Yeah, exactly.
But after 2 weeks, oh my gosh, the destruction has been mind-boggling. But there's always opportunity that comes out of this, Chris, and that's what you, that's your business, is helping people with opportunity. What's going on?
Yeah, so, you know, we're seeing really three different examples of what COVID was like for businesses. You know, the first are the people that are distressed. They've been forced to close event centers and restaurants and bars and all these kind of businesses that have forced all their employees out of work and have forced to close or to be very, very restricted. So you've got those struggling businesses that are distressed. Then you have some businesses that, for the most part, were unaffected, mm-hmm. just kind of going about their normal routines. And then you've got some businesses who just killed it last year. Just, I mean,
really?
You know, from athletic, like bicycle shop businesses, anything around home improvements, spas and pools and basement refinishes, mm-hmm. you know, all the money that people typically spend, their discretionary money that they were going to spend on vacations and things like that last year, and just being stuck at home. So anything that you could do at home where you had that money and you're making more of your staycations, those businesses killed it. And all the plastic guards everywhere. I mean, you can't even, in some businesses, they couldn't even get the plastic for mm-hmm. producing what they needed to produce. And so it's kind of all over the map. And it's making it a little bit unique in terms of, well, what are these businesses' values now, right? You have this 1 year, but they were forced to close. So how does that impact what the value is of the company? Then you got the flip side of that, where they have these record years in 2020. Mm-hmm. And how does that affect the valuation of the company? So it's very unique with each one of these. And you kind of have to sit down and figure out the parts and pieces. And we kind of always go back to, well, what will the bank lend on? Because at the end of the day, that kind of does help determine a market price on what a bank is going to lend on for one of these businesses. So as we roll into 2021 and really see if the booming COVID businesses start sliding, coming back to normal a little bit, and the other businesses start coming up, hopefully by the end of 2021, we'll have a little better idea of what their true valuations are.
Okay, Chris, there's been a couple of businesses that I have seen that they were dark. They didn't even have the lights on their signs. And last night I was coming back from Windsor, and there was a restaurant business up north, and I saw the lights on, at least the signs. So do you think that some of these just hunkered down and didn't totally close, and they're going to consider opening back up, or what's going on
there? Yeah, for sure. It depends on their situation with their landlord and what they allowed them to do. But there are those businesses that just said, we'll just shut it down, and when we can get back in there and reopen, we'll reopen. And thankfully, we're at least back to 50%, and their restaurants are being able to stay open a little bit later now. So it's starting to come back for them. But it's still going to be a tough road ahead for a lot of these businesses.
You know, what I find interesting is on the dial, I've not really sat down and looked at the dial that Polis and everybody came out with, but even over on the supposedly free side of the dial,
yeah,
it's not 100% open, if you can believe it.
Yeah.
It's like, wouldn't we want to get to 100% open? But I think that there's some people that we've realized they really kind of like the power.
Oh, for sure. Again, it goes back to control and mm-hmm. controlling businesses and being the overlord that is calling all the shots.
And being free market people, mm-hmm. I don't really understand that. I like it when I see people that are thriving and prospering.
Yeah.
And another one of my great sponsors, Susan Kochevar with 88 Drive-In Theater, was on Fox National.
Yeah.
And she did such a great job because I think they were trying to get her on just a kind of a gotcha question about rich people. What do you think about rich people? Shouldn't we be taxing rich people more? And she said, I'm paraphrasing. She said, no, I think we need more rich people. And I was thinking about that yesterday.
That's great.
I like it. I like it when people thrive and prosper.
Yeah. Well, like I always like to say, I work with people who create products and services that other people value because it makes their life better. And wealth is not just money. Wealth is the ability to hire people, the ability to make people's lives better. So all these rich people out there, they have a ton of wealth and value. But what do they do with that money? It's not just sitting under a mattress somewhere. It's invested in everywhere in the economy and in other people's businesses and the people they employ. I never understand that they just can't get around the economics of wealth and what wealth really is. It's not just cash. I saw a bumper sticker the other day. There should be no billionaires. So we should have never had an iPhone or all the Microsoft. Right. I mean, you just think about these people that, sure, they're worth billions, but it's not like they have it in a bank account and they're just counting their dollars every day. It's invested in so many other things across this entire economy.
But they got wealthy. And to your point, if you have a product or service that somebody likes and a few people like it, maybe in your community, mm-hmm. you've got a restaurant, your little mom and pop, yep. and people like it in the community, you hopefully are going to make a good living at that.
Yeah.
But if you, let's say you expand, or let's take Microsoft, or let's take the iPhone. They came up, Bill Gates came up with an idea, Steve Jobs came up with an idea that people started to say, oh, that makes my life better. Yeah. But then when a lot of people say it, they get really, really wealthy.
Yeah.
And I think that is great. That's
great.
The whole American idea.
And how many people are they employing, and they're paying them well, and the benefits and all? I mean, you just, when you really unravel it all, you got to unravel it. You can't just go, oh, that guy's got $1 billion. Right. I'm jealous.
Well, and that is the other thing. I think one of the most compassionate things you can give another man, another person?
A job.
You got it. Jason McBride, I know that you like that as well. Jason McBride is a senior VP at Presidential Wealth Management. And do you agree one of the most compassionate things one person can give to another is a job?
Oh, absolutely. Even if it's a bad job, they have a job.
That's exactly right. And if you have that job and it's a bad job, you can always work hard, improve yourself, and get a better job. Right, Jason?
Well, let's hope so. That's the American way, and it's still the American dream.
That is for sure. Were you aware that Douglas County commissioners are very possibly going to vote on a resolution to open up Douglas County today?
I was not, but I'll be very excited to see the outcome and then the resulting battle from the gods on Olympus up at the Capitol building.
Well, I do think that there is a concern, particularly by one of the commissioners, that Polis is going to really flex his muscle because he doesn't like Douglas County very much. So we'll see what happens with that. Did I hear that it was a rough day in the market yesterday?
Well, it depends on which market you're talking about, Kim. It was actually quite a dichotomy yesterday. The Dow actually ended up over 300 points. Made a new all-time high intraday, but the NASDAQ and the tech stocks, you know, the air just kind of kept coming out of the balloon, and the NASDAQ was down 300 points yesterday. So really, for the most part, the markets were good yesterday, except for technology stocks and some of the super-duper high flyers who continued to see profit-taking come in.
Interesting. There is always opportunity, Jason, and Chris Cantwell's in studio, and he's in the business of helping people buy and sell their dreams. There's always opportunity, and I know that you've been doing some research on some different opportunities out there, and I highly recommend that people give you a call to sit down and talk about them because it sounds very interesting. How can people reach you, Jason?
Easiest way is the old school way, Kim. Just give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600.
Jason McBride, thank you so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, you guys have a great show.
And Helen actually texted me. She said, oh, poor little CU college students. There's never an excuse to damage other people's property. Grow up. She does have a good point on that, Chris.
Absolutely, she does.
Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Lawrence Reed. He is the President Emeritus from Foundation for Economic Education. We'll be talking about socialism. And his book was Jesus, a Socialist. Stay tuned.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. In studio with me is Chris Cantwell, one of my great partners. He is with Trans World Business Advisors. Just a couple of things we forgot to mention during the last segment, and it's important that people know this, Chris.
Yeah, so the SBA still has some incentives out there for people that are looking to buy a business and get an SBA-backed loan, but they've pulled back a little bit. Initially, they came out with a program that offered 6 months of no principal, no interest payments being made by the SBA or the taxpayer at the end of the day. It's been moved from 6 months to 3 months. So there is still some incentive out there. Gives you a great opportunity to build up some working capital in your business and get in there and become an entrepreneur.
If people have questions, how can they reach you, Chris?
They can call me at 844-SELL-BIZ, B-I-Z, 844-SELL-BIZ, or find all my contact information on your website.
On my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And I am so excited to have on the line with me Lawrence Reed. He is the President Emeritus of the Foundation for Economic Education. And he has a book out, Was Jesus a Socialist? Lawrence Reed, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim, for having me again. I appreciate it.
Always great to talk with you. I'll tell you, Lawrence, Larry, the first time that I had somebody say that Jesus was a socialist, it stopped me in my tracks because that had never crossed my mind. But then as we've seen this conversation about socialism, that socialism is altruistic and that it cares about people, and they say then Christ cared about people, so Christ must have been a socialist. What do you say to that?
Well, you're right that this is the way that socialism is often presented to people, the happy face side, that socialism means caring and sharing and giving and so forth. But, of course, there's more caring, sharing, and giving under capitalism than there ever is under socialism. Socialism is not just caring and sharing. It is the use of force, the concentration of power in the hands of the government for the purposes of redistributing wealth coercively, or appropriating property for the use of the government, or for central planning of an economy. And that's the side of it that a lot of socialists don't want you to think much about.
Larry, have you been watching all this stuff coming out of Davos, out of the World Economic Forum, with their goals, 2030, basically getting rid of private property and our Western values? And it seems like they're actually working diligently through all different levels of government here in America to make that happen. Have you watched that at all?
Unfortunately, no. I haven't followed it, but it sounds as though it's more of the same, the kinds of things that many of them have been working on for quite some time.
I want to tell, before we had you, or before you called in, we were talking about the most compassionate thing that one person can give to another is a job. And I wanted to just share anecdotally, I know of a company that was a family-owned business, and by the third generation had gone to the finest schools in the nation. Coming out of all of this indoctrination, socialist indoctrination that had occurred. and had started to do a lot of work in Africa, and was kind of I would say lost his focus on actually running the business and was doing all these altruistic things, and ultimately ran the company into bankruptcy, and all the people that were ever employed lost their jobs. All of the people that contributed to helping manufacture the product and all of the things that went into that. And I stepped back when that happened, and I thought, his job really, his most compassionate thing to that he could have done was to make sure that that company continued to stay in business. Larry, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, sadly, that is not an uncommon occurrence. The initial entrepreneur who often goes from rags to riches by creating an enterprise, he or she, of course, is the person who most appreciates what it takes to get there. And then later generations gritually begin to fritter it away because they've not had the experience of creating it in the first place. And it's a sad story, but that third generation that you described, Kim, should have taken time out to understand how the wealth he spent came into being in the first place.
Yeah, I found it very tragic. So let's go to this question then. Was Jesus a socialist? Let's talk a bit about that.
Okay. Well, much depends upon how you define socialism. Socialists often define it, as we alluded earlier, as simply taking care of people, compassion, giving, sharing, that kind of thing. But as I mentioned, there's more of that under capitalism, so socialism has to be more than that. And it turns out that it's actually the concentration of power in the hands of the government to redistribute property or plan an economy or appropriate property for the use and ownership of the government. And ultimately, it comes down to one word, and that is force. That's why I like to say if it's voluntary, it's not socialism, because if it's voluntary, you can do that under capitalism. What makes socialism socialism is the fact that the people who run it are telling other people, this is the plan, you will conform to it, you don't get to say no thanks, and our plans are more important than any that you might have.
How is it, Larry, that we have allowed our kids to be indoctrinated through the education system to think that capitalism is bad and socialism, air quotes, is good? How have we let that happen in America?
We've turned the education of our children over to the government. And for decades now, we've sort of assumed that, well, if it's run locally, it's okay, and they'll do a good job so we can worry about other things and not pay much attention. And the bottom line is, when you turn the education of your children over to government, you cannot reasonably expect that it will teach either liberty or character. Those are things that have to come from the hearts of parents, and they have to make sure that those values are passed on to the kids. The government's not going to do it for them, and it's done it, as we now know, very poorly.
Chris Cantwell, you look like you want to weigh in on this a little bit.
Yeah, well, I was just kind of thinking back through the one question that's always out there is, you know, we know capitalism can work without socialism, but can socialism really work without capitalism? It can for a while.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Larry, that's a great question. Your thoughts?
Yes, it sure is. You know, sometimes people point to a country that is, say, partially socialist and seems for the moment to be doing reasonably well, and they say, aha, see, socialism, or at least some of it, actually works. But it turns out in every case that it's not the socialism that such a place has that explains what success they have. It's the capitalism that they haven't yet destroyed. And socialism has no theory of wealth creation. You know, those of us who believe in free markets and capitalism, we talk about the science of wealth creation in terms of division of labor and entrepreneurship and investment, innovation, risk-taking, and so forth. But socialists just sort of assume that wealth is just there for them to come along and take and redistribute. But in the process of doing that, of course, they kill the goose that lays the golden eggs in the first place.
Larry, two words that are bantered about regularly now by PBIs, these politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, is equity and equality. And there is a big difference between the two, correct? What's your thoughts?
Yes. Equality, at least in the sense of a very important sense, equality before the law being blind to matters of race and religion and place of national origin, being applied fairly and equally across the board. That's a very noble goal for any free society, that the law should not discriminate, the law should be fair and impartial. That's the kind of equality I think any reasonable person should embrace. But when we go beyond that to assume that the law should also make sure we have economic equality, sometimes referred to as equity, then it's gone beyond its proper bounds. And the only way to achieve that, the only way to make people equal economically, is to put a gun at their heads and say, you cannot excel, you can't be better than the next guy, you can't offer services and goods that people will want more than the next guy's offering. You have to tell people that they can't be themselves, in effect. So the search for equality or equity in material things is illusory and can only be achieved by force, whereas equality before the law is a very noble goal.
And Jesus never had a gun.
Oh, well, Chris right. has a good point on that one. That's right. Christ never has ever used force. Now, religion has used force, Larry, but Christ never used force. Right?
That's right. And just like any faith or any lack of faith, you have bad apples who will not, by their behavior, properly reflect the values they proclaim. So there are people in the past and present who claim to be Christian but don't actually follow or advocate what Jesus himself taught. Can you imagine if he came back today and spoke to, say, a crowd of 1,000 people and he said, hey, tell me what you've done to help the poor. Do you think he'd be impressed if people started raising their hand and said, well, I just voted for the politicians who promised that they would take care of that? I don't think that would impress him.
No.
He would say, what? You empowered politicians? You voted to rob Peter to pay Paul? You abandoned your own responsibility and turned it over to the government? That wasn't my message.
And really, to that point, it was charity that actually really took care of people. And when taxes are low and regulations are low and people thrive and prosper, then we have seen that Americans are among the most generous people throughout the world. We built hospitals. We took care of the poor. We feed the hungry. I submit to you now, Larry, and I'll kind of leave this hanging out there, is that taking care of the poor, or the homeless, or the hungry. I now am calling it the homelessness industrial complex, because we have been working on solving this problem for a long time. As much money that's been going to that, we should have no homeless people. But there are people that are getting rich off of the homeless, off of the hungry, off of the poor. And that's something unconscionable about that. We're going to let that hang out there. I have Lawrence Reed on the line with me. He is the president emeritus from the Foundation of Economic Education, a great author. And what really precipitated this conversation is his book, Was Jesus a Socialist? Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors, valued partner of the Kim Munson Show, is in studio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And appreciate you contributing, helping us to keep our independent voice on the air and on the digital airwaves as well. Chris Cantwell, Transworld Business Advisors, you are a great partner of the show, making sure that we keep this voice alive. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Glad to be here. Thanks.
And Lawrence Reed is on the line with me. He is the president emeritus with the Foundation for Economic Education, has written lots of books, is always talking about freedom and capitalism. And we talk about it all the time, freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do this. But Larry, I have done a lot of volunteer work over the years. In fact, I served on a board and an executive board of a nonprofit that was in the business, quote unquote, of helping people. But once I really delved into it, I saw that, first of all, nonprofit doesn't mean not making a profit. There were a lot of people making money there. They just weren't paying taxes as an entity. Certainly, they paid taxes on their salaries, but the salaries were very healthy. And, of course, benefit package was very healthy. And when I realized that this nonprofit, when I was looking, going through the financials on it, and realized that this nonprofit that was taking charity dollars was actually living off of government contracts more than charity dollars, and were paying a lobbyist to go down to the Capitol to advocate for higher taxes and different things, I'm like, wait a minute, there is something going on here. And then I started to look at the 990s of different, that's the tax returns of different nonprofits, and I realized this has become, many of these things have become, I'm calling them like the homelessness industrial complex. There's a lot of money and a lot of power in saying you're helping the vulnerable and actually not really doing so. Your thoughts on that?
No, I think you're right. Needless to say, we shouldn't disparage the many truly charitable and honest operations going on out there. But you did your due diligence, Kim, when you took a look at the 990s. I think that the first thing that a person should do when considering donating to a nonprofit ought to be to find out just how transparent they are. There's now an organization, I can't remember the name of it, but it does this for churches and religious groups, rating the degree to which they are transparent. And if you find an outfit that will not release its 990s, that will not submit to an independent audit, I'd steer clear of them.
Most definitely, because the 990, you can certainly find a lot of information. And that is really where this organization that I was on the board of, when I looked at the amount of money that was coming from government contracts, it was well over 80%. And I realized this was no longer a nonprofit. And because they were taking government money, they had started out as a religious institution, but they could no longer talk about the American values or the Judeo-Christian worldview because they were taking government money. And it was a process for me, Larry, to start to unravel this. But then I realized that this has become a problem in America. And your thoughts on that?
Well, the lure of money from the government is strong. And in almost every case, sooner or later, it's a very corrupting factor in the development of an organization. I would much prefer a nonprofit to be dependent upon the voluntary giving of people who support it rather than on money coming from politicians, which essentially is extracted by force from taxpayers. I mean, an outfit can hardly be accountable to its donors if its donors are taxpayers who don't have any choice but to cough up the money that the politicians then pass off to them.
I'm going to throw this question over to Chris Cantwell, and that is if a nonprofit would have to compete in the free market for your dollars, then I think that they would be more accountable to what their mission is. And as Larry said, there's a lot of great nonprofits out there.
Yeah.
But yet, on the other hand, it seems like there's there's some really big guys out there that are making money and not solving a problem. And if, in fact, they weren't living off government money but off of charity donations, they'd have to perform, correct, Chris?
Yeah, it's just like the government. The government doesn't have any accountability for the money they spend, and they're not trying hard to earn it. They're just getting it through force. So these charities that are out there living off the government, it goes hand in hand.
And so we need to walk that back, Larry, because, once again, I think it circles back to your question, was Jesus a socialist? And when we abdicate to government to take care of the poor, to take care of the homeless, to feed the hungry, then what I've seen people say, well, I'm paying my tax dollars, and somebody else is supposed to do that. So instead of us stepping forward into that gap, it doesn't happen as much. And so we see here in Denver that there are homeless camps now. And years ago, now Senator Hickenlooper said, we're going to get rid of homelessness in Denver. Instead, when government has gotten involved in that, it's gotten worse. We have homeless camps, which are super tragic. And it's not about throwing more money towards that. I did meet with a nonprofit just recently that's helping men get off the streets. They don't take any government money. And he said, this is not really a home, or I'm paraphrasing, not really a homelessness issue. It's an addiction issue. And we have government here in Colorado that is actually giving out needles, clean needles. So instead of helping save people's lives, they're helping people destroy their lives. Larry, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I can't think of very many things that if the government takes over or gets involved with that then become cheaper or better. It just doesn't happen with any regularity. You know, Jesus never said to any audience, the way to help the poor is to send your money first to Washington or to Rome or to wherever the central government is, have it laundered there by the bureaucracy and the politicians, and then let them decide who gets what's left. I mean, can you imagine if he had ever said that? I think it would completely change our view of his knowledge of economics. But he never said that. He said the way to do it is for you to get personally involved in it so that you can feel the person's pain that you're trying to help and help hold them accountable. And don't just forever subsidize them, especially if their problems are partially due to their own behavior, or they'll never change.
I had a friend of mine, she has since passed on, but during the Depression, she said that they lived in a rural community, that they had what they called pound parties, that if somebody fell on hard times, that they would have a party, if you will, and everybody brought a pound of something, a pound of sugar, a pound of flour, a pound of feed for the animals or whatever. And they were able to help their neighbors doing that. But if you had a pound party for somebody, and then that person went out and ended up sitting on the couch playing video games and eating potato chips, you might not have a pound party for them because you want them to be accountable to that. I thought that was a pretty good idea, Larry.
Yeah, oh, totally. And it has been a very effective way to deal with people in need historically. And you've hit the nail on the head, Kim, in the sense that when government tends to take over a function that people previously did themselves, it doesn't just add to the total amount being done. It actually takes the place of what used to be done. And a lot of people simply say, well, you know, I guess it must be the government's responsibility, not mine. And now that they are making me deal with it by having to pay taxes, I don't have as much left over to take care of the problem myself anyway.
Mm-hmm. True that. The other thing is the dignity of honoring another person and saying that you have something of value that I'm willing, Chris, to trade my hard-earned dollars for. And granted, there are some people that just cannot help themselves. But to not say to another person who has the ability to work that you have something of value that we're going to trade for. I'm not just going to give you something. You have something of value that we need to trade for, I think is inherent in the American idea. Chris, I want your comments on that first, and then Larry, we'll finish up with you.
Yeah, I mean, and that goes back to the butcher, the bread maker, the candlestick maker. I know I just totally botched that, yeah. but it goes back to my phrase. It's providing those services that make other people's lives value. And I specialize in this, so I'm going to be the best at making this. And you specialize in that, you're going to be the best at making that. And we're going to trade voluntarily.
And there's dignity, Lawrence, when we get to that kind of a transaction. That dignity that you have value that you're bringing to the table. And I'm willing to trade some of my value for that. That is inherently compassionate, Larry. We've got 2 minutes. What's your final thoughts?
Well, we know from countless studies over the last several decades that years and years of government welfare programs have had substantial negative effects. We were, in fact, to a great extent still are, paying through our tax dollars for families to split apart. Because the families would get more money if the father left town. Mm-hmm. Now, can you imagine a private charitable operation accomplishing that objective and then continuing to draw donor dollars? I mean, people would say, what? I'm not going to give to something that's paying families to break apart. But we did that through government for decades, and it was just extremely hard to change.
Wow. Well, Larry Reed, how can people get more information, buy your book? I know that you've written a number of different things. Where is the best place to follow you?
Well, every book I've written, plus just about every article, is on my website, Lawrence W. Reed. That's LawrenceWReed.com. But you can also find, I think, all the books I've written on major online booksellers, from Barnes & Noble to the other usual suspects.
Okay, but they can actually buy it directly from you at your website.
Well, the website will take them to various places where they can get it directly, yes.
Got it. Larry Reed, thank you so much for joining us. It's always a great conversation. I so appreciate it and really makes us think. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Kim. Appreciate it.
And Chris Cantwell, thank you so much for your partnership and for being in studio.
Absolutely. I love being here. Thanks, Kim. It's a great morning.
You bet. Our quote for today is Thomas Sowell. He said, "No one can really understand the political left without understanding that they are about making themselves feel superior, however much they may talk piously about what they are going to do to help others." My friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. You are not alone, my friends. God bless you, and God bless America.
And I don't want no one to cry. But tell them if I don't survive, I was born free. I was born free. I was born free.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM, AM 560 and 100.7 FM, 560thesource.com.